everyone. And my name is Wes Christian. Welcome back to another episode of Friday Food Fight. And we're joined once again by Bart Christian, nationally recognized speaker, and a very special guest. Bart, why don't you introduce our guest for today's show?
Wes, it is my honor to introduce my very good friend, Gay Anderson. Gay is the child nutrition director in Brandon Valley School District, and I think it's your 18th year, right, Gay?
Yes, it is.
And I know you've served in many roles in School Nutrition Association, both nationally and South Dakota. I know you were the state president in South Dakota in 2008-2009, correct?
I do believe that's about when it was.
Yeah, and the I know time flies, doesn't it? And and you were the you're the immediate past president of the National School Nutrition Association, and I think you carry a very special distinction in that role, and that you're the first in history to serve two consecutive terms as the president of the state, wow, National Association.
Yes, that actually did happen.
Yeah, and I know, we just had Reggie Ross, the president, that's the current president, on our show about a month ago, and I'm just so glad that we could get you. And you know, I know that one of the things you wrote in your bio is that you have a passion for school nutrition because you know that you all make a difference one meal at a time in the lives of the students we feed. And, you know, one of the things that I think people, if they really want to get to know you and they don't know you, and like a lot of us do, and like I've had the pleasure of getting to know you, if you go back to the August 2018 School Nutrition Magazine and look at that, I pulled that up and I was looking at it this morning, and I'm looking at these pictures of you. And if anybody ever doubts the joy that you have in child nutrition, all they got to do is look at these pictures. You're just like a bright light amongst all these children and in your staff. And I just, I'm blessed to know you. And I think that your staff is blessed to have you.
Well, thank you. That's very kind of you. You know, my parents they discussed between naming me Gay or Joy. And I guess there was a reason that they just kind of came up with that. But I've made it my mantra in life to be happy.
Well, and I think that is the best way to be. Is, and, you know, I struggle and fight with that all the time. But that's what my goal is, just to be happy and to be joyful, especially in my way I come across to other people. Mm-hmm. You know, looking at a couple of things, just a couple of background things. And, you know, I read, you know, I remember that you told me, or I read in that article that, you know, when you first became the food service director in Brandon Valley, that your superintendent came to you and talked to you about joining the State School Nutrition Association, and you were reluctant to do that. And I think that's a very interesting story.
That's very true. I was told that one of the things that was expected of me was that I had to become a member of this association, and I'm going, that's not my thing. I don't do associations. And actually, I drove around. I went early because I'm never late. I drove around for about half an hour arguing with myself. Can I just skip this and find a way to say I couldn't make the meeting or whatever? But I did go to that meeting, became a member that night, and I have been blessed ever since being a member of the School Nutrition Association.
Yeah, and what a track you've had with child nutrition. Yeah, I was kind of looking through your couple of things you said you love to do, and I you know, you and I share a couple of things. That's number one, that you've all, have you taken that Alaskan cruise yet?
Not yet, but now that the presidency is done and I'm out of my SNA roles, once we get past COVID, my husband and I have that on our bucket list.
Definitely. Awesome. I've always wanted to do that, and I know that you share something with my wife, and that is that you just don't mess with you until you've had that first cup of coffee in the morning.
Yes, that's very true. In fact, I'll be married 38 years this year, and I think my husband's way of survival is knowing he has coffee ready for me before I get out of bed.
That's,
and he goes,
man.
I don't even
that's
say
a good man
anymore. He goes, don't even bother with a grunt.
That is exactly what I do. The first thing I get up is I walk my make coffee first off, because I know that when she gets up, that's going to be what she wants. And I noticed that your favorite colors are red and black. My favorite colors are red and black. I've actually got red and black going on here today. And and all of our companies, most of them, we've used the logo colors of red and black. My reason is probably different than yours, in that I'm from Atlanta, and it's a rite of passage that you have to be a Georgia Bulldog fan.
Okay.
If you come from Georgia, and their colors are red and black. So that's my reason. What's your reason for red and black?
Well, it's going to be really, I love the colors red and black, because I feel I look best in them when I wear those colors. And then it happens to be my school colors, but red and black are just kind of those power colors, I think, that when you wear that, it kind of notes a little bit about what who you are.
Yeah, no, I agree. So, but with that, Wes, I'll let you take it away. Gay, it's a joy to have you here, and I appreciate you taking the time to be our guest.
Thank you so much.
So, Gay, I've got to know. Obviously, after that introduction, you've got just an extremely just noteworthy career in school nutrition. What got you started in school nutrition?
It was a fluke.
Okay.
A total fluke. I had been in food service in the past, but my husband was offered a job transfer to South Dakota. We had lived in North Dakota. And when we were looking at school districts for our kids, I emailed a number of school districts, but I only emailed one and said at the end of the email, would you ever happen to have an opening in school nutrition or in food service management? Because I have a background. And the food service director had resigned 2 weeks prior to that. So it's one of those God things. It's like, oh, wow, this is meant to be. They offered me the job and held the position until we moved.
Wow. Very interesting. It's interesting how people get into the industry. And mm-hmm. then once you get into the industry, you kind of just stay.
Oh, my gosh. It's an amazing industry, though. I mean,
it is.
What a better thing to do. I mean, feeding kids and making a difference in the lives of kids, one meal at a time, mm-hmm. that's what we do. And mm-hmm. We're making a difference every day.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the mafia. You know, you see people get out and retire, and then they pop back up as a consultant or as a – I actually knew a lady who retired from 20 years in the 20 or 25 years as a child nutrition director and went back into a kitchen as a cook just because mm-hmm. she just missed the kids.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, school nutrition is just a very interesting – just field in general, and there's always something going on that's interesting. And this year, I think we could all agree, is going to be an extremely interesting and exciting school year in a lot of different ways, a challenging year. But I'm curious to know, what are you most excited about going into the start of this school year?
You know, I think for us, we're 2 weeks in right now in our own district, but a lot of it was we had kids back in our schools. It was nice to hear those sounds, the noises. We were feeding kids in a new normal way, but we were actually serving meals to them out of our kitchens. And I think just even being able to have all my staff back and seeing them kind of, so we're all brought back to some kind of new normalcy. Mm-hmm. And just getting out of that past 5.5 months that we've gone through going, okay, we've got to take steps forward, and we've got to look to this and know that we're going to get through it too.
Yeah. Yeah. Just out of curiosity, what is your plan over at Braden or at Brandon to actually serve meals this year?
Okay. We're doing a whole mix of things. We do have distance learning. We're a district of about 4,700 students right now, and we have about 400 that are doing distance learning. And with those distance learners, we're offering them meal pickup 1 day a week, offering them 5 days worth of lunch and 5 days worth of breakfast. In my K-4 grades, we are taking the food right down to the classroom. We're rolling the heavy serving lines down, and we're going down to the classrooms and so we can keep all of our elementary kiddos separated, and they aren't crossing over into any different thing there. Then we go on to our upper grades, and we've added multiple serving lines, and we're serving in auxiliary gyms, hallways, you name it, and really stretching out lunch periods. Mm-hmm. And so it's a whole mix of everything.
And what's the response been from your staff with everything going on? Has it been mostly positive? And how have you dealt with some of those maybe challenging situations with them?
Well, I have heard the comment once that you're killing me, but that was a tough day. They have been amazing. We talked when we had our back to school in service together on a Zoom call, had all the staff on that. And, the whole piece was I started out, this is going to be a difficult year, but we're back together and we're going to be able to, you know, navigate this. We need to remember that things are going to change, and change is hard for a lot of us. And so with change, I'm trying to use the theme that we have to have a lot of grace this year. I gave them the definition, some different parts of the definition of grace. And, you know, part of it's like letting things go. Mm-hmm. And so we're really trying to talk through those things. And I said, we're going to make mistakes, but we're going to grow through those mistakes. We're going to, you know, we've got to let those little idiosyncrasies that kind of get to us go by the wayside. And actually, we have a new theme out of my office. We're saying we need to all be like otters, because otters let the water roll off of them.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to make the sound that we make, because we have Googled the sound of an otter. But if you're curious, you can go and Google that sound, and you can imagine me walking around sometimes making that noise. And it's just, be an otter, be an otter.
That's awesome. I've never heard the otter terminology. I've heard be the duck before, where, you know, ducks have the same kind of effect where they let the water beat off of them and roll off. But I like the otter one. That's unique and different.
Mm-hmm.
You know something interesting, you use the word grace, and we had how that's kind of becoming kind of a national theme. I talked to, last week we had Lynette Dotson on the program that is the state director down in Georgia. She used that exact same term. And said, virtually gave the exact same reason you said, because it's different, and we all have got our own little quirks, but it's something that we just got to sort of get past, because we're going to have enough stress and enough struggle with things we can't control. So let's do a good job of at least trying to control what we can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, it's really interesting, because the way my staff have stepped up to it, the first couple of days, we're walking through some of those scenarios that I planned out on paper and had all mapped out. You know, it's not going to be perfect when you start it out. And then how we navigate and tweak things. And it's like, okay, we can do it. Yes, we can do it. I think the hardest part is for my staff who are moving the serving lines down the hallways. And that's where they kind of use that line, you're going to kill me. But I think they're also into the weight loss program that I've created for them too. So.
Well, we all got some really good news this week, actually, from USDA extending the waivers through December of this year. What do you think the impact of that's going to be on child nutrition, operations for you personally, and also just across the country?
Well, just before we got on to talk today, we were on a state call with our state agency, and they're working through all the intricacies, trying to figure out how they're going to implement this for us and what the details. So I'm still kind of on the fence on knowing how it'll impact my program or how soon I can be able to implement this. But this has been amazing. It was something we were working on while I was still president. We've been working on it for some time as soon as COVID started, about how we need to help school districts and help them out with these certain needs. And so it was kind of bittersweet to hear that come out this week, knowing that one of the last letters that I was able to sign was to Secretary Perdue on July 10th, and that the SNA board has carried on and been able to continue to advocate for those among many other great associations and organizations, because it takes everybody all together. And it's going to help these programs who are not feeding kids, because the kids are hungry, and we're going to get food into the mouths of those that are hungry, plain and simple.
Yeah. It was just so interesting. It came right on the heels of the waivers last week, being basically getting the waivers last week, said we weren't going to get it. And then within days, we got it. And I just think that's probably a testament to SNA, actually, that the advocacy that you are a great part of, and that they do all the time on behalf of kids across the country. I just think that's probably a direct result of that.
I was so proud of our association, and actually I had heart palpitations when I read it. It's like, oh my gosh, it happened.
Well, I think this is a great start, extension through December, but is now the time to be aggressive when we're talking about, providing free for all kid type meals?
I think this gives us an opportunity to look at what it's costing us as a nation for these meals. It's kind of a way to start looking at that, and we could get some of that data that we've needed to have, instead of picturing what if scenarios, this is what it could cost. We might be able to provide that and be able to advocate for that down the road, that, hey, maybe this would be a way. We provide free education to our students. Maybe we need to provide free meals for our students. And I think it's a big stepping stone that could make a difference down the road.
Well, I think you're going to get this. There's people in the administration, school administrations, that have all, I've always said this, and you've heard me say it before, is I believe that child nutrition is one of the most underappreciated departments in a school district, but that all changed 5 months ago, 6 months mm-hmm. ago. And now I think is the absolute time to, because I think the administration is going to be, they're beginning to realize that nutrition is really should be part of the education program and not just a service that's provided like school buses.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And with that too, I think the other piece is administrations, they've learned the value of our programs, obviously, but I think they also realize that they've seen a better understanding of what the funding factor is in our programs. And for the programs without prior to these waiver extensions and all that, we've had a number of districts across the country that have gone broke, bankrupt this year because they weren't able to feed kids and the cost that kept associating with that. So I think this is combined. It's something that's going to be a very big factor that we can advocate for going forward and making a difference. It'll take time, mm-hmm. but we can be patient, we can be diligent, and keep our heads to the grindstone there.
mm-hmm. Yeah. I like I mentioned earlier, I don't think anyone would deny that COVID and coronavirus have greatly impacted virtually every aspect of our lives. How do you see COVID impacting the landscape going into this upcoming school year?
You know, I think putting a good positive spin on it, we were able to flip on a dime on March 13th and be able to start serving meals the following Monday. It was a Friday the 13th, by the way, and I'm not superstitious, but we flipped on a dime and we realized that, hey, we can do anything. I mean, my staff, we say we're superheroes in school nutrition. They are superheroes, and the staff across the country. And I think we realized that we can do so many other things, and it doesn't always have to be, well, that's the way we've always done it. And that, you know, we can think outside of the box, that common theme that people use a lot, and look to how can we improve our processes? Even in my own school district, they're talking about some of the things that we're doing differently, even because of me taking food to the classrooms in the elementary schools. They're realizing that they have made some changes that are for the positive with kids on the playground at recess time because of the times that it's all impacted. Schools are going to learn a lot from this, and they're going to grow from it if we look for the bright side of it and look for the positive things that come out of it.
Now, what have you done at your district, and what do you think can be done to really help make customers, kids, parents feel safe again sending their kids back through the lunch line?
Well, so for our district, right away, it was like, okay, we cannot have any touch. We're serving everything out to all the students. So from the time any kiddo starts kindergarten on up through high school, we put everything on their trays, even down to the carton of milk or their condiments. And my staff were all provided, the whole district was provided face shields and masks. Mm. We also, within the district, everybody was provided like the little plexiglass shields. And so my cashiers have those around them at the cashier line. Students have that at their desks so that they're a little bit more protected. And whether it does anything or not, who knows, but we're doing due diligence and trying to make those efforts, be real. Along with that, you know, with the serving lines, talking to my staff, making sure that we're doing we ask three questions every day before you come into work. Even before they're allowed into the building, and even students are supposed to have that question asked of them before they come in. So we're looking at everybody's safety, everybody's health. And if there's any doubts there, we have our key people we reach out to. What do you think? You're going home, or no, you're able to stay. And so it's a lot of time was put into that thinking process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds like you've applied a lot of different PPE measures and made those available to your staff. Have you made any technology changes to help with kids going through the line, or maybe training that is changed for your staff? What's that look like?
So the biggest technology change we made, we used to have biometrics for the POS systems. Well, that's gone by the wayside. And so we came up, put together the badges, and we were scanning and using scanners only, so it's all touch-free again. Mm-hmm. And so that's been our biggest technology piece. And then the other thing is with technology, all of our training's been done through technology. You know, we need to have a meeting, we need to get together. Well, I can't put my staff together in the same room, so guess what? They've learned how to do Zoom calls, so there's technology for them.
And speaking of training and Zoom calls, what type of COVID-specific training have you done with your staff, and what do you think districts should consider offering to their staff as we go into this year?
I think we need to continue with anything that we hear through updates on COVID training, that we can make sure that we're staying on top, because as we all know, what we learned, know something on Friday can change by Monday of the following week on what maybe is coming out of the CDC. And so a lot of the training that we talked about during our meeting was really making sure that we're taking care of ourselves. We're taking care of, you know, focusing on ourselves, our families also, but then also, you know, the hand washing, the gloves, the you know, wiping things down differently on a more regular, frequent basis. And that's become a district-wide thing. A lot with that, I was part of the safety committee that met with our administration all summer long. And so it was incorporated throughout the whole school district. So everyone's on that same page. So I filter it on down through with my staff at the same time.
You know, something that I saw in restaurants that are some restaurants I've gone to is they're actually doing a thing called a 30-minute drill. And every 30 minutes, if you walk in the restaurant and you sit down and they're about to do a 30-minute drill, they'll tell you, you know, hey, it's going to be just a second because we've got to do our 30-minute drill, which is wiping down all touch surfaces, all employees washing their hands, all that kind of thing. And they make kind of a show out of it in a couple of places that I go to, just to let people know that, hey, we really are taking an extra step for your safety. And that's a pretty cool thing.
It is. It's actually interesting you mentioned that, because I was in a grocery store the other day, and like a little bell or something went off, and a lady's voice comes over the speaker and says, "It's time to clean, everyone." And you see everyone bust out their little spray bottles, and they must have been doing something similar to a kind of a 30-minute kind of schedule. But you know, people come running out of the back with mops, and it was really kind of a show to I think, you know, make customers feel comfortable going in there and let everyone know that we're doing our part to make sure that this place is safe.
Sure. And you know, you just made me think of something else too with what we're doing when you said that. I don't have the bells ringing or anything, but one of the other things with taking, we made the decision, it's a costly decision, but to utilize disposables all year. And so that's just one more thing in my mind, that it's one less thing my staff have to touch afterwards, handling trays or silverware or anything like that. And then, so that there is a significant cost with that when you have full service kitchens that you could run through a dish machine. That, but then the other thing with PPE, just the gloves, the cost of gloves right now is just unbelievable, as we all know. It's more than doubled, tripled, and quadrupled in some situations, and even availability. And so, where I've always preached about you got to change your gloves and change them often, now it's like, be very careful with those gloves. Treat them like gold. If you've touched something, that yes, please change, but wait a minute, don't overdo it now.
You know, one of the things that we've seen is that, yeah, everybody's we're wanting customers to feel safe coming back, wanting kids to feel safe coming back. I mean, that's all important. But you know, one of the things I've heard people talk a lot about is staff. You know, as teachers are kind of reluctant to come back to school in some places, and I think maybe it might have a lot to do with a lack of education on their end about exactly how they can protect themselves, and then a lack of education about how the things that you know they can do to protect themselves and each other in a school. I know in food service, I mean, that's sort of secondhand. You know, personal hygiene, sanitation, those things are all sort of second nature. But with teachers, you know, I think there's going to be a greater emphasis on them doing things in the classroom and understanding what to do and understand the right way to do it and the safe way to do it.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a burden on our teachers already, because they're actually having, they sanitize in the room. They don't have like your little bell stories, but they do have certain times of the day that they're supposed to go and spray throughout the classroom, different areas. And That takes away time from teaching. They realize that, spraying down any kind of touch surfaces and all that, even down to the clothes they wear. A lot of districts have become very sensitive about that. And prior to our school district starting, our superintendent came out and said, if staff wanted to wear scrubs all year long, they could. It about blew me away. I'm not one who jumps on that. But some of our teachers are actually wearing scrubs because then they can, taking personal clothing home and washing it in hot water. A small thank you that I was able to give back to my staff. I'm a believer in uniform and looking all professional. But this year I said, you guys will not believe this, but I will let you wear jeans this year. And as long as you were wearing school colors on top, I'll let you go that route. And we're going just as a way to thank you for all the hard work you're doing.
Yeah. I think that's important to give them something to keep them motivated, especially with as crazy as this upcoming school year is going to be. This the little things that really make a big difference.
Very true.
You've mentioned Zoom and School Nutrition Association as a couple of different resources in our conversation today that people can use for training and connecting with their staff. What other types of tools have you come across or heard about that you think are either interesting or you might recommend to other people?
Especially since I am no longer on the board, I was using a lot of the Zoom, and I think that has been very valuable. That was a very valuable way of having trainings and meetings that we utilized. And then some of the other there's a lot of other organizations too that have some great training tools. You guys, along with some of the others out there that Share Our Strength, the Child Nutrition in, or Institute of Child Nutrition. And just utilizing those resources because we need to look at what those resources are and find the best practices that work for our individual programs.
Well, I got a question. In Arizona and New Mexico, where I'm stationed at, and have contact with a lot of directors almost daily, I've seen a lot of veteran directors that are choosing to take retirement now. And so as a result, there's a lot of new directors coming in. People that have got some experience and people that maybe don't have as much experience as you might ordinarily have. So what's the one thing that you wish that you had known coming into the job as that you'd like to tell incoming directors? And maybe additionally, what's one piece of advice you would give to them?
Okay. I was blessed to have had a little bit of a business background prior to coming into school nutrition. I did not have my college degree yet because I achieved that after I came into school nutrition. But understanding the basics of business, because we are running businesses, they're like mini franchises in my mind. But you also have to have that nutrition background. And again, I was blessed a little bit because I was able to work in a hospital setting for a number of years and understand some basics there. So for a new person coming in, you need to know what your strengths are and look to where you can find where your weaknesses are and how to build on them. If you came from a business background, find someone who can help you with that nutritional piece because you can't do it all. You have to have both of those tied in together. Or if you come from the dietetic background, they don't teach a lot of business in their backgrounds because I've worked with a lot of interns. And so be willing to learn the business side of it because it takes both sides of it to do that. And the other thing is, come in. I came in and I admitted I knew nothing about school nutrition. So part of that's kind of good, especially if somebody would be coming in like now this year, they wouldn't know anything different. You just kind of take it from where it is. But be willing to make change, be willing to admit when you've made your mistakes, and be willing to grow from that and make things better. How's that?
Yeah, and that's great. One thing I might add to that is that now I see a lot of new directors that struggle with calling a coworker, I mean, calling a cohort or a peer in another district because they don't want to, they don't, we all hate to ask for help, I think, sometimes. But, one of the things I find in child nutrition is I've been in the business a little over 25 years, and it's like a family. And really, people are so open to share. I can't tell you how many times I've called people like you or other people and said, "Hey, I'm struggling to understand this. Can you help me?" And I've never had anybody. I've had people tell me, "I'll call you back later because I'm busy," but I've never had anybody not help me. And I think that's one of the great things about this industry. You probably learned that when you jumped into when you got introduced to SNA in South Dakota.
Oh, I'll tell you what, I found out very quickly, you know, I call it baptism by fire, because you learn, it's like, you got to reach out to those that know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, what we all do. Then you kind of go, well, the newbie, let's take them on and make sure that they know who to contact and reach out to. We're not competing with each other, like you said, other businesses do. So we're an open book, and believably so. We all tell each other about our failures because we don't want to see someone else fail at something. It's like, take this and how can you improve it, or how could I improve it? So we help each other through the good, the bad, and the ugly. And along with that, you get to have really great relationships too and make some amazing friends across the country.
Yeah, lifelong friends.
Lifelong friends, you're right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, in the last couple of minutes here, and we're getting pretty close to our time. And Gay, first, I really want to thank you for your time and all of your input and insight. It's been just a pleasure having you on the show. And, you know, week after week, we talk a lot about the changes coming up in this upcoming school year, and we've done so in this episode. But I'd like to close us out with a final question about opportunities, and really opportunities that both of you might see. And this would be a question for both of you, but what kind of opportunities do you think that school nutrition professionals have going into this year, whether it be from a team building standpoint, a marketing standpoint? There's definitely some things that we can pull out of this pandemic and good things that we can apply for future years to come.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you what, we kind of alluded to it already. We've learned how we can flip on a dime, and we don't have to do things the same old, same old. So we know that we can come up with new ideas, be creative and proactive, and, you know, finding new ways to market to our kids. I think that's something that we have to always be on the lookout for. But now it's even more so, because we have to make sure that the meals that we may be sending home are going to be something enjoyed. Where it's not the same old, and we can give them something new each week. And looking at different things, we're looking at where we can maybe, you know, do more pre-ordering or finding different things through different forms of technology. I think we can grow through this. And then the other thing, when you ask about what can we do and learn from this, is also the fact that we have an opportunity, a huge opportunity, to talk to USDA and Congress about potential for free meals for all kids going forward too.
Yeah, and I would only add this, and that's, you know, I think we have a tremendous momentum going into this year with child nutrition. The, you know, Gay used to use the word superheroes for your staff earlier. You know, you and I have always known that people that work in the cafeterias are superheroes, but the community knows now, and they've experienced it firsthand. And they've seen the meals. They're not just hearing stories from their kids coming back home. They're seeing the meals firsthand. They're seeing the great job that you guys do and the great job that's being done across the country. And I just hope that we don't get so busy doing our job as we've done in the past that we lose the momentum that we've got going forward to do the things like the free-for-all meals and to elevate child nutrition in every district across the country to a level that really it should have always been.
That's amazing. I like that. That would mean a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, Gay, again, thank you so much for your time. And Bart, thank you as well. We really appreciate having both of you on the show, and we look forward to having you back, Gay, in the very near future. Maybe once the school year gets going, we can have you back and kind of hear how things are going for you.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, thanks, thank you guys. You're both great. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. Well, everyone, thanks again. This has been another episode of Friday Food Fight. My name is Wes Christian, and we'll see you here again next week at 12 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. Take care, everyone, and have a great weekend.